Morning. Can you hear me? Good morning. All right, I can hear you. Good deal. How's everybody doing? I hope good. Awake? All right, awesome. Sweet. Glad you guys are all here this morning. Am I on? I feel like I'm not on. Am I on? Yeah, all right. It's just me then. All right. That's how it goes. You know. So this is our final week of being transformed. Of our series. I'm hoping that God is always renewing your mind, that you're allowing God to always renew your mind, allow God to transform you into what He has called us to be. And it's a lifelong process. It never stops. All right? And I'm hoping when we walk out of here this Sunday that we find hope in knowing God still has a plan for you, that God wants to use you today, tomorrow, and the next day. And the biggest thing is, our sins of our past don't follow us when we start following God. Isn't that a blessing? That's such a cool thing. So I want to start with what we've been talking about, Romans 12:2. All right, and in your heart, repeat this. This is I want you to walk away knowing this is a scripture that I can carry with me this week. All right. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. I'm going to talk about Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. All right? I don't know if you guys have known some of the Sunday school stories, and he climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He was a chief tax collector. We know him because of his stature, but there's so much more to this guy that I want to explain. And I want to start off by reading scripture with you, okay? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him. Since Jesus was coming that way, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because of this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's such a cool story, but we have a tendency to remember it for the things that it is not to be remembered for. Zacchaeus was small. He climbed a tree. He saw Jesus. Jesus saw him come down from that tree, and in that moment was saved, right? There's so much more that's not written that you don't see, and I have a tendency to wish that I could be in that moment of his house when he sat down and had dinner with him, right? And what that discussion looked like and what it sounded like, okay? And I'm overwhelmed because what happened at the end of this story is Zacchaeus, listen, he gave up half his wealth, all right? He decided, this is who I'm going to follow now. I'm not going to be a chief tax collector anymore. Like, he changed everything in a moment over lunch. That's crazy. That's amazing. Transformation happened just like that. And I wanted to tell you who Zacchaeus was. He's a chief tax collector. I've talked about what it was for a tax collector during that time. They didn't have too many friends because they bullied people out of money. Well, he was the chief guy. So all the tax collectors responded to him. He was like the main person of this mob. And they went and knocked on. He was the guy that said, "Hey, you got to go to this store and go to these people. And, you know, if they don't pay, break some knees." Like, he was that guy. So amongst the people, he was not liked. He was a sinner. His friends were other the wealthy. And why were they friends with him? Because of his wealth. Because they feared him. Because he had power. He could say, hey, you owe me, to anybody. He had that rule and reign over it. And he could determine how much you owed. All right? So like he was not a liked person amongst the people. He was not really a liked person by his friends. He was friends because of protection. Right? And he had an interest in Jesus, had heard about Jesus, knew about Jesus, was interested in seeing Jesus as he walked through the town. Can you imagine that? Like, we have that in today's world too, right? We have people that are famous, we have people that are amazing, and we'll go stand and climb things to see them, but we'll not have the same kind of interaction that Jesus had. I doubt that he thought that when I climb this tree, I'm going to get called out, right? That's another thing I'm thinking in this moment. If I'm Zacchaeus, oh, he spotted me. Jesus saw me and called me by my name and to come down and said, hey, I'm going to have lunch with you today. Okay, right? And he was so willing. He wanted it. There was something in him that he knew wasn't being satisfied by all the things that he already had. He had everything. But he didn't have deep relationships with anybody. He had all the riches he needed. He had all the supplies. There was probably a lot of people that looked at him with envious eyes. If only if I was in his position. If only I had all the things that he had, life would be great and I wouldn't be in this misery, right? Whereas he was so, man, life's not so great. Something's there and I've heard about this Jesus guy. And he had him over for lunch. And I want to say, what was the response of the righteous? Because the righteous were there in this crowd watching and seeing what was happening. And knew who Zacchaeus was. Right? They muttered, how can you go and have lunch or dinner with this sinner? Now, it is easy to be critical of that crowd. It should be critical of that crowd. Right? Now that we stand back and look at that. But my question for us is, who do we put in that spot today as a church? As righteous people? Who do we put in that, like, I can't believe they are hanging out with that group. I can't believe that they have a friendship with them. I can't believe, there's no way that I want my church to be associated with this group. And I want you to know that Zacchaeus represents all of that group. And Jesus represents the bridge to that group. And we have to be reminded within this story of how we respond. In this as a church, in this, I'm thinking globally, locally, whatever, our hearts continually need to be transformed to where Jesus wants, desires to have lunch with. Think about that, church. My question for you is, when we get back to whatever normal will be and we have lunch and we have potlucks and we have picnics and we have those things, think about who our audience should be when we invite to that lunch. Think about who should be here that we are saying you need to be here. We want to celebrate with you and love on you and be a part of our church family. Even though everybody in the world says, we don't get along. They belong here because Jesus sits at the table of the sinner. Do you understand that? We need our hearts to be continually be transformed and have those times where we sit at our dinner table and invite and be invited over to the sinners. To love, and bring Jesus. That's what it's called about. So we need to be reading this story in a different, non-Sunday school way, but more intentional way of saying and reminding us how our hearts need to continually be beat up against what God's will is. Do you understand that? Like, it needs to be understood that we don't just plan things for ourselves. We plan things to meet where God wants us to be. It is so easy to be just us. I want to say to, when I was growing up, clicks. If you remember those words, clicks, not on a computer. It was a group of peoples, and you were always in a group of people, and you always hung out. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, you find your tribe, you find your people, and you connect with those people, and that's not a bad thing, right? The bad thing is when that tribe becomes exclusive and the door shuts off. And I want to tell you, many times as a church, man, the best thing I hear about this church, we're so loving for each other. We care about each other. We want to be there for each other. I felt so welcomed. And we embrace, but my fear is we embrace the comfort of being with just us. We want to see the new people. But it's easy to just go to the regular faces and love on the regular faces, right? Church, I want to tell you, we are not here for our own comfort. We are here together with God. And I want to tell you, where did Jesus go? Multiple stories talk about this, or where Jesus was hanging out with. It was the lost, marginalized, abandoned, ridiculed, dirty people of their society, their culture. And if we want to be with Jesus, guess where our hearts as a whole needs to respond to? Exactly where Jesus was. All right, so the righteous respond. The parable is, I'm reading out of Luke today, all right? Sorry, I didn't tell you that. Luke 19, and you find Luke 19 at the beginning of the verse is the Zacchaeus and the tax collector, right? I want to talk about a little bit, 18, 9 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You can look at that, but what's crazy about this is Jesus is setting up these stories with this encounter that he has with Zacchaeus. And it's funny how I've missed it all these years. I feel like as reading and studying that there's a couple parables before this story that Jesus was setting them up, right? And you have the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector, and it's basically talking about prayer. And you have a Pharisee giving this beautiful prayer, and it was all about how beautiful his prayer was and how beautiful he is at giving this prayer. Right? And how amazing this prayer was. And people were astonished by the words that were being used. He didn't mess up anything. It was beautiful. People were moved by the essence of the prayer of what was being said. Not so much the heart of the prayer. And then he talked about the tax collector and the prayer that he gave. And I want to put it this way, he was a slobbering mess. He was pouring out his heart and saying how much he needs God and how he was insignificant to God, like in comparison, and that it was so amazing that God would love somebody like him. And he looks at both those prayers, and Jesus said, who was more in a relationship with me? Who was? And he left the question. He didn't answer it for me. He just left it there for them to answer, right? And then you have the next one, the rich ruler. You know this one? This guy comes and he knows everything about Scripture. He knows the Ten Commandments. He knows and he lives by the Ten Commandments, but something is still missing. Something is not right in his heart. And he approaches Jesus and he says, "Hey, what does it take to be saved?" And Jesus went through the laundry list and he's like, "Hey, I do all those things, but I know it's not enough, right?" "You're right. Go and sell everything and come and follow me." As you can see, the title of this is Rich Young Ruler. He had everything. He had everything. And he heard that statement, and he walked away, kind of with his tail between his legs. "I don't want to sell everything. I like what I have. It's easier. You're telling me to not? Come on, no, anything else." And Jesus went straight to the heart of it. You see, it's scary to ask Jesus this question. Jesus, what in my life do I need to transform? And he'll pinpoint it. And it'll be that one there you're like, "No, not that one. Please, anything else. I'll read more. I'll pray harder. But nothing, don't call me to give up everything." And he walked away. And then we have the story of Zacchaeus, right? We have the story of Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector, sitting at his home with Jesus, and he looks at him, and I can just imagine what that conversation is like. "Hey, I want you to know, God loves you. And all these things, the sins of your past," I heard a song lyric this morning, "the hell of your past wants to seep into your future and now. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you follow me, that hell has no reign over you. You're free from it." And I can only imagine sitting in that table, hearing those words of redemption, how excited he was. How his life was beginning to transform just over a meal. And he looks at him and says, "Hey, come follow me." And before Jesus said, "Hey, this is what you're needed, I'll give up half of what I own. And if I've done anything wrong to people, I'll make it right." Okay, two things there are huge in this world and in our world. Stepping away from what we think is our identity to be more excited to be formed in his identity needs to be a thing for us. Needs to be our call in our life. Needs to be more important than anything else. You got to understand, the chief tax collector, everything of who he was his possessions. Was it. And before Jesus even asked him, "Hey, would you do this?" he just gave it half up. He said, "I will give back to the poor, to the community, to the marginalized." Why? Because Jesus, this is what I see you do. And I want to be transformed into. I want to be that. I'm hungry for that. That's true meaning of life. That's so much more important than what I have now, because what I have now doesn't have a heartbeat. Doesn't love me back. Hasn't satisfied my soul. But loving people the way that you have shown me love over this meal, I have never felt before in my entire life. And I want that. I need to be a part of that. And I understand the cost, and I'll celebrate in giving over half everything to follow you. And whatever I have done to wrong people, I will make it right. Do you know how hard that is? Can you imagine looking back over your life and seeing where the missteps of crushing people and hurting people and saying things that you totally regret, and going back and apologizing. Going back and asking forgiveness, even if you know you will be not, you won't be forgiven. And it might be a really devastating moment. But with God, when I transform my heart and my mind, I find wholeness in Him in that moment. My redemption's not in the moment of that forgiveness. That redemption started happening once I accepted His forgiveness. And I started loving and living for Him. See, this story of Zacchaeus is more than a little man in a tree, as cute as that is. It gives us hope and direction and understanding of where we are called to be and go. We live in a world that has an American dream, and it's okay to have the white picket fence, the two-car garage. It's okay to have those things. But I want you to understand, I hope you're not defined by those things. I hope your dream is the dream that Jesus has for you. The dream that you are to be a neighbor to your neighbor and love them and hurt for them and pray for them and be there for them. I hope and pray that you become a follower that comes with redemption, forgiveness, and healing in all relationships, no matter what the cost is to you, because your identity and your ability comes from not your own, but from Jesus Christ. You see, the desire is to follow the one Messiah that walks into a town that everybody looks to and goes, this guy has a message of hope and love and redemption, and be followed in that dust of loving the marginalized and the lost and the hopeless. And understanding there is no boundaries and walls of God's love for them, and we should not be building up any either. We are called to love not a certain group of people. We are called to love Jesus Christ, and in that, we love all. No matter how our day is going, the more that we become transformed, the less we conform to what this world has. Right? The more that we become transformed, we stop pushing people away, no matter what the differences are. And we become more open-armed and loving. And that's what we're known for as a church. I want people to come up to me and go, hey, I heard about your church. You guys are loving people. I heard about you guys. I don't want to hear, you guys don't drink, you don't do this, you don't do that. I want to hear, man, you guys are making an impact in our community. Some of the best neighbors I've ever had in my entire life. Some of the best coworkers I've ever had, because when I turn to them, I know I can seek their will out. I can seek their opinion out. I can seek their help out. I know they're loved by me. I know that I can trust them. They are genuine. You see, all that happened over lunch. I remember the moment, and I'll never forget, the Sunday that I sat here and I transformed my life forever. And I said yes to Him. And I started doing this whole game where I'm not going to play around anymore. I loved reading Scripture. I loved Jesus. But I will tell you, when He said to come and follow me, I loved my own way better. And that Sunday morning, I remember, and I always remember, man, I'm tired of going down my way. I need to follow you. Whatever it takes, I want to do it. There has been bumps and turning back many a times in this process. But the cool thing is, through it, the more that I'm willing to allow to God transform me, the more that I'm willing to let Him challenge me, the more that I'm willing to say yes to Him, the closer I feel each time to His glory. And the less harder it is in saying yes to Him and doing what He's called me to do. The first time I shared the gospel with somebody was the scariest thing in my entire life. His name is Pete Hennessy. I love that guy. He was a cool guy. We were on the same soccer team together. And I just sat there after I put a hole in his wall and we were playing around in his basement. And I ran into the wall, and I just put this giant hole, and we were joking, and his dad didn't kill me, thank goodness. And we sat in his room, and he goes, "So why do you go to youth group?" And in that moment, I go, I could feel the sweat coming. It was a moment God saying, "Hey, are you going to be transformed in this moment? Are you going to tell him the truth of why you go?" And I did. It was so scary. I feel I look back at that, and if I could see that moment and go, okay, Ben, you could have done better here. You could have said this so much better. You could have, come on, man. Oh, come on, just give him the 4 points. You know, come on, give him these things, right? But honestly, I look at it, and I look at a Ben that was genuine that moment and said, I go because God loves me. I go because I have a group of guys that love me. I go because I want to celebrate Jesus and who He is in my life. It's fun. I enjoy being with them. I enjoy hanging out with them. But more importantly, I just want to learn how to love Jesus more. That was what I said. And he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, okay." And he never came. But I honestly thank God. I lost touch with him after high school. I never saw him again. But I pray that that was a moment that a seed was laid. And that God used that moment, and that I was brave enough to follow Him in that moment, and I wasn't scared of going, I might lose a friend here. And I want you to know, that was during a time in my life that friendships, I didn't have that many. I valued them, and I didn't have that many. And He was one of the first ones to friend me. You see, God, following God is not an easy thing. Being transformed by God is not an easy thing. Not as easy as Zacchaeus makes it. But the reality is, Zacchaeus knew this life that I'm living is not worth a dime. As rich as I am, it's not saving me. It's not moving me in the way that I want to live. So I'll sell it if I can follow you. I'll go and ask forgiveness from people if I can follow you. And the reality is this, Jesus goes, hey, if you do follow me, these are the things that you will do because it will restore your soul. Church, this morning, this is what I'm going to ask. Are you the Zacchaeus in this? Are you ready to sit down and have lunch with Jesus and Him transform you for the rest of your life? Are you searching out other avenues and finding other things to be worried about that shouldn't define who you are? Guess what? Just like that lyric I heard this morning, God can restore you at any moment. And all the wrongs of your past can be wiped away. That is something to praise God about. But I will tell you also, there's a cost to following Him. There is. But just like Zacchaeus, that cost is nothing in comparison to just following in his footsteps. It's priceless. It's life-giving. It's soul-renewing when you walk the path that he has made for you. It can be scary. But I want you to know, our God loves you so much. Our God loves you personally so much that this same Jesus who gave these words, who changed lives on a daily basis every time he walked around, right, also gave his life for you. So that you wouldn't be held accountable anymore for your sins. And all you have to do is believe and say yes to him. That's it. And when you're transformed, you see a world through those eyes. When you're transformed, your mind looks at news in a different way. When you're transformed, you see people in a different light that you've never seen them before. You see them the way God sees them, as precious children that he knows every hair on their head. You're willing to forgive as Jesus has forgiven. You're willing to live not for the American dream, for what God's dream is for us. It redesigns everything that we live for. It takes away our worries and stress because no longer is it the dream that we thought we need to live, but it goes, okay, all I want you to do is love unconditionally. And all that hate sometimes that we build up, all that grudge that we have, it's a weight on us. You know, it is. Killed people is broken backs of all the anger and resentment that we can hold on to. And the moment that we follow Jesus and say, it's yours, you're lifted up. You don't have that worry and stress anymore. And you look at those people that have done you wrong with God's eyes and you love them unconditionally. And no matter what they do to you, that doesn't bother you in a way because you know your whole being is found in God. Your whole reassurance of who you are is not bound in other people's words. They are found in God. All right? We look at Zacchaeus. The moment that he gave everything up, he made a whole bunch of new enemies. Oh, he's done that to me, and he doesn't have power anymore. He treated me like crap, and he doesn't have power anymore. And what does he's excited for these moments where he's going to be confronted. Because what message is he going to bring? I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. I know maybe you haven't forgiven me, but I want you to know Jesus Christ is real and he loves me. He's my Messiah. And I ask for your forgiveness. And if whatever I need to pay you back, it's yours. Church, people, there's hope in that. And imagine if we have an ounce of what Zacchaeus had, what this world would do around us, just our own little worlds that we have, and how much it would restore and redeem God. Romans 12:2. Be transformed, not conformed. Allow your mind to be renewed daily. Take with you Zacchaeus' story more than a wee little man, because he made a life-altering decision that is not easy to look at. It was a brave one. Are you willing to follow in those same footsteps? Are you allowing God to sit at your table and challenge you daily? to change who you are. Not me, not anybody else, God. Allow God to mold your heart. Allow Jesus to come in and renew your heart. And it's easy to look at, how am I treating people? How am I acting on a daily basis? Am I more woesome about what I don't have and wish I could have more? Or am I satisfied because I know I have everything in God that I need? Let's pray. Lord, I just want to lift you up this morning. Lord, it is so easy to get caught up in what I don't have, what I wish I had, and the things that we think need to define who we are. Lord, today I pray that maybe we can be transformed into your image. Maybe today we can start to say yes to you, maybe for the first time or maybe for the 50th time. Lord, I pray that you transform our minds, that our thoughts lean towards you, that our souls are restored in you. Lord, I pray that we stop looking so much like the world and more of your image. I pray that we bring redemption wherever we are. Lord, maybe we need to step out and make things right with others. Maybe you're calling us to lay down the guard and share the gospel with somebody. Maybe this week it just means I need to start praying for those that I can't stand and that my heart needs to change towards them. Lord, I pray that we seek you out this week. That we sit down at our table and we expect to be changed because we just sat down with you. I pray that we get up from that table and we go, hey, here's half my stuff. Here's all my stuff. Here's who I am. Take it. It is yours, God. I pray that we are excited to be followers of you and that we don't hear the mutterings of others, that we hear your sweet voice in our life reigning through. We thank you for this story. We thank you for the life of Zacchaeus. We thank you for what you did with him and that we can look at it and go, I want that. Maybe somebody this morning just needs to get up in the tree of life and just look down and search for you and go, okay, I'm waiting for that invite. And Lord, I pray that they hear your voice and they say yes to you. Transform us this morning. May we be the church that you've called us to be. May we be known by the love that you show us. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for sending your son to die on the cross for us. Thank you for scripture that shows us his life and the interactions with those that we know we need to live like and hear and just be embraced with. Lord, this week I pray that Romans 12:2 reigns in our heart and our mind. I pray that we can escape that verse. May we look different because you are living in us. We do this to glorify your name. Amen. Church, you're dismissed this morning.